So everybody knows what a family is, right? So why are we even talking about this? But it's a good question. Let me try and explain. As you may or may not know, I am Beacon's lay chaplain, and this is my second stint at this job, and I'm honored to hold it. One of the things about being a lay chaplain is that you commit to learning and growing spiritually as a person and as a part of the program. This growth seems to come unbidden with the job. The first time I was lay chaplain, I was challenged right off the bat with a request to perform a same-sex marriage in which one of the partners was incarcerated at the Abbotsford Women's Prison. The inmate was just beginning to transition to male, and both partners wanted a traditional marriage. The dearly beloved, we are gathered here together in the sight of God to join this. Oh dear. Well, fortunately, I had other lay chaplains I could call on, and I did, and I found out what I could and couldn't say legally, and met with them and counseled them, filled out all the paperwork for Corrections Canada so that I could be allowed to go in and do the marriage, and people were crying, and it was just like any other wedding that you could possibly imagine. But I couldn't say, marry this man and this woman, because this person had not yet fully transitioned to a man. But I could say, could marry Joe and Jane or whoever they were at the time. Good thing I have help to do this. This time, I was also challenged, but in a different way. This time, an acting friend of mine asked me to perform a ceremony of commitment for her polyamorous family. So, dearly beloved, we are here gathered together to join these, oh dear. Well, here was the challenge, the threshold I was facing, as it were. As her friend, I would gladly have performed the ceremony. I support anybody who figures out a way to live together in love and cooperation, and they are consenting adults, and everybody is free to create what they want. Yay! However, as a lay chaplain, I was not acting as myself alone. As a lay chaplain, I represent you all, and the Canadian Unitarian Council, and the lay chaplaincy program. And the problem is that the law of the land says you can be polyamorous, just don't tell anybody. Well, that's not exactly the way it says it. It says you can be polyamorous, that's not illegal, but it is against the law to perform a ceremony celebrating a polyamorous union. And it's against the law to encourage someone to have a ceremony celebrating a polyamorous union. And it's against the law to help anybody. Oh, anyway, it's awful. But that's the law. So although I was willing to take that risk for myself as a lay chaplain, I wasn't willing to put the entire program at risk. So I turned them down, sadly, in consultation with my lay chaplaincy committee, but I was able to refer her to resources on the web and places that I had located that would give her information to create a ceremony for herself. But it was because of that I began to think of, what is a family? I mean, as Anne said in that little, I mean, the story was practically my whole sermon. I should just read that again. But, you know, we all think of that a family is mom and dad and the kids. Well, this request made me start to think and question my assumptions about what is a family. I've sometimes had conversations with you too, Anne, about what's a family when we talk about family night. Does that include us old ladies who live alone? Am I a family just by myself? Well, and Percy the cat, of course. Although I'm not so much a family as a servant. I know my place. I know my place. But as a Unitarian and in the lay chaplaincy program where I'm challenged to grow spiritually and to grow in the program spiritually, maybe this is a place where I can begin to look at my assumptions about family, to question what I might have previously thought of as given or unchanging. And I continue to do that. You know, we've already done a lot of that here at Beacon. You know, we already include gender pronouns in our email signatures. Have you noticed that? Minister Reverend Meg Roberts, she, her pronouns. Same with our Director of Religious Education. People are starting to do that. We ask our kids, what is their preferred gender pronoun? So we're starting to make inroads about this. Prior to our church engaging in the welcoming congregation process, in which some of us here participated, we examined our assumptions about gay, lesbian, and bisexual orientations and how we might make a welcoming environment for people with many choices or none. When we engaged in the truth, healing, and reconciliation process, we examined our unconscious white prejudices and opened our hearts and minds to the lived experience of Indigenous peoples. Maybe I could do the same with notions of families. It's not such a big deal, but it's a little deal. It's a threshold. When Percy the cat wants to go outside, I learn about thresholds from my cat, by the way. He stands at the door and stares at me. I open the door, and he will do one of many things. He will either continue to sit there and look at the open door. As I do when given an opportunity, I sometimes just go, oh, an opportunity, how interesting. Next. Or he may approach it and stick his nose out, as I might. Okay, what is this opportunity? What do I have to give up now? What's out there? He may go so far as to actually sit right on the threshold, as I might. Well, it could be this, it could be that. Either one is fine. Let's look at both sides. Of course, Percy takes it further and rubs his back up against the side of the door, and can't quite figure out how to do that with notions and ideas and assumptions, but... Or he may step over the threshold and sit on the doormat for a while. Okay, I've crossed over and looked at this from a different way. All right, seems safe so far. Next, and back I go. Or he may bolt out the door and run down the block. Yay, new oceans of family. Oh, this is great. Okay, come on, everybody. We're going to change everything. Where did everybody go? You can learn from cats. I haven't quite learned how to not have his outdoors filled with snow, though. He's still mad at me about that. But for us, you know, thresholds are not a big deal. And approaching them one way or another is not better or worse. And you can approach the same threshold in many different ways at different times. And so in this one with the notions of family, I remembered that when I was younger, I used to say to people, come in, make yourself at home. I assumed that home was this fun, welcoming, loving place like my house was. Until I had conversations with friends of mine who told me what their family life was like. And for them to say, make yourself at home, meant come in, be afraid, keep your mouth shut, you'll get hit sooner or later, whatever you do is wrong, you're not safe, you can't sleep safe in your own bed. Sad to say, but true. And as a Unitarian, it's just up to me to listen, to hear. Is it possible that the word family could still be triggering people here? You know, in our order of service, first word, inside cover, top left corner, families. Is there something in our Unitarian values and principles that could help and guide us? Well, let's take a look. The inherent worth and dignity of every person. Well, that could help. I could look at myself and these others as inherently worthy individuals. Justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. I could look at that. I could have compassion. I could look at and listen to issues of justice or injustice that they come up with and believe them and do something about it. Acceptance of one another. Yeah, I could do that. Encouragement. I could do that. To spiritual growth in our congregations. Well, that starts with me. I could do that. A free and responsible search for truth and meaning. I might need to sit on the mat a little bit for that one. Because my assumptions are pretty big and I kind of like them. So would I be willing to set those aside and put them in the mix with everything in a search for truth and meaning? I could do that with help. The right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations. Now that's a tough one, particularly with regard to this specific issue, because the right of conscience says to me, I should do this wedding. But the democratic process, we haven't actually addressed it as a movement, as Unitarians, as a lay chaplaincy program. We haven't had a vote as to how we're going to approach this. So although the right of conscience applies to me, as a whole, the democratic process is yet to take place. The goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. Yes, I can listen. I want that kind of a world. And I can be open to hearing about people's experience where that is not so. And respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part, which leads me to believe that your experience and mine have something to do with each other. That even though your experience of being excluded as a polyamorous family, there may be something there for me to learn because we are all human. Turns out all of our Unitarian values help. But why should I care? There aren't that many non-traditional families. Are there? What's the big deal? Well, it's not a big deal, and that is the big deal. That it's not. It's tiny. It's small. It's open the door, stick your nose out. No big deal. Step on the threshold. No big deal. Sit on the mat. No big deal. Run down the block if you can. No big deal. Each step, each little movement is no big deal. The threshold's not enormous. It's not a chasm. It's not a mountain. It's just a little bump. And maybe that's all we're being asked to do. Just one more step, like the Joyce Pulley song says, right? You know, I was in a panto last year playing the role of Merlin, the wizard, and I asked the author if I could make a change to the script, and she agreed. So when I introduced my character on stage, I said, "My name is Merlin. My preferred gender pronoun is they. I am a wizard of great power." Small change. I inserted the phrase about the gender pronoun. And one of my friends has a teenage trans son who attended the show, and she told me how thrilled he was to hear Merlin say that. It meant that people like him were included. It didn't take much. It was no big deal. A little thing that I was able to do, supported by my Unitarian principles and my journey as a lay chaplain. And I hope that one day lay chaplains will be able to celebrate the open union of polyamorous relationships. I hope that I will continue to be open to seeing my assumptions and listen with love and compassion to different ways of living together. And I hope that my beacon family will continue to be a place where love is generated. There's a quote that I want to share with you. It was from an article written for the Vanier Institute on polyamory, diversity, and family life. Although this talk isn't really about polyamory, it's about being open to looking at your assumptions. That still was the triggering issue. And they quote, "The reality is that polyamory and other forms of non-monogamous relationships have been around as long as monogamy, even if they aren't well understood in society. People often fear and are uncomfortable with what they do not understand. Will this be the end of traditional families? Is polyamory truly an emerging family structure across Canada? Will we have to change our social structures and ideas of what it means to be in a relationship?" "For me," says the author, "family is made up of people who love each other, look out and care for each other, support each other, and encourage us to be the best version of ourselves. If I have that in the people around me, what their titles are makes little difference to me. There are more kinds of relationships than we have words for. And if society opens up and allows people to define relationships for themselves and express their authentic selves, then polyamorous families could feel more recognized, respected, and included in the national conversation on families and family diversity in Canada." So I leave you with this question. What makes a family? What must be present for a group to be called a family? What moves someone from being a close friend to being like family? In the song that we sang, "We have found a joy in being together. And even to question truly is an answer."